Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. It is a busy start to the week this week, so let's kick off with banking. And Nedbank has released results for the 6 months to June, where their headline earnings per share has increased by 11%, which is respectable. Return on equity came in at 14.2%. Pre-provision operating profit, that's up by 22%. And impairments, they shot up by 57%. The cost-to-income ratio, which basically measures how efficient the bank is, moved in the right direction from 56.1% to 52.9%, and in that case, lower is better. Absa also released numbers, and this was for the 12 months to June, and that's an important distinction, especially in this period. HEPS only increased by 2.7%, and the cost-to-income ratio also improved, down from 51.2% to 49.8%. So Absa is running at a more efficient ratio than Nedbank, even if the HEPS growth looks a lot worse. Absa's impairments also increased sharply by 60%, and pre-provision operating profit was up 16%. Return on equity, that was 16.7%, which is ahead of Nedbank, and that is the key metric in banking. But the important point here is that Nedbank's number is a six-month number, and Absa is reporting for the full year. So Nedbank is reporting a concentrated, really tough time here. The message from the banks is consistent. Individual borrowers are in far worse shape than corporates, with home loans under particular pressure. Vehicle and asset finance tends to be more resilient in terms of the credit loss ratio, with South Africans tending to default on their home loans and their other debt rather than their car repayments, something that is very interesting about the South African lending landscape. In the mining sector, we had quite a few updates that I'll touch on here. Exxaro is on the wrong end of coal prices and volumes thanks to Eskom and Transnet challenges. So HEPS for the 6 months to June is expected to drop by between 23% and 37%. If we move on to Platinum Group Metals, Northern Platinum released results for the year ended June, and they showed a drop in HEPS of between 2.5% and 12.5%. Now that number excludes the huge impairments on the stake in Royal Bafokeng Platinum that has now been sold to Impala Platinum, as well as impairments on the Eland operation. The PGM cycle has turned ugly, with share prices of the major counters getting smashed this year, and that really isn't good news for the South African fiscus, as we are such an important platinum exporter. We also need to talk about Sasol, where headline earnings per share disappointed the market with a drop of between 25% and 39% for the year ended June. The group has impaired the Secunda liquid fuels refinery to zero, citing the emission reduction roadmap as a contributing factor here. And finally, at Glencore, HEPS more than halved for the interim period. It fell by 58% year on year and is now at similar levels to the second half of 2021, so the cycle can shift quickly. The group is focusing on investing in transition metals like aluminium, copper, and nickel as it tries to diversify away from fossil fuels. Next up, we have the telecoms sector. Vodacom hit us with the big news before the public holiday that the Competition Commission is looking to block the proposed merger with Vumatel and Dark Fiber Africa, which has an impact on Remgro on the other side of the deal as well. There is a long battle ahead with the regulators on that one, at the very least with the Competition Tribunal and possibly on appeal as well. We then had earnings out of MTN, which were okay, with revenue up 16.5% and HEPS up 7.1% for the interim period. The concern there is the balance sheet, as holding company leverage is moving higher because the group can't upstream all its cash from Ghana and Nigeria. It doesn't help to look at group debt if you can't easily move your money around within the group. You have to look at what is sitting where. The big news, however, at MTN was actually the MasterCard deal. Details are pretty light at the moment, but it looks like MasterCard will take a minority stake in MTN's fintech business on a valuation of $5.2 billion. Now that works out to a valuation of around 100 billion rand for the fintech business. The MTN group market cap is around 244 billion rand, and I don't think too many people were putting such a high valuation on the fintech side, which explains why the share price moved higher on the news. Another dynamic duo that I want to cover here is Cashbold and Itzal Tal. Cashbold went first, with HEPS for the year ended June down by between 35% and 40%. This hideous outcome is because people simply aren't investing in their homes or in construction right now, with confidence very low and interest rates eating up disposable income. Much the same is happening at Itzal Tal, where HEPS for the year ended June fell by between 11% and 16%. That is a much better outcome than Cashbold, although the businesses are not directly comparable, with Itzal Tal exposed more to fixtures and fittings, and Cashbold exposed more to building materials. But either way, however you cut this thing, consumer discretionary spending is taking serious strain, especially in the context of property improvement. I'm finishing up with Nampak, which needs a 1 billion rand rights offer to win the ongoing support of its lenders. The company also needs to dispose of 2.6 billion rands worth of non-core assets, and even if they manage all of this, net debt to EBITDA will only be below 3x by the 2024 financial year, which is still a lot of debt. It should dip below 2x by the 2025 financial year, which actually is still a lot of debt too. Now, the go-forward operation would consist of Bevcan South Africa, Bevcan Angola, and Div Food, a much simpler version of Nampak. They hope to achieve return on invested capital ahead of their weighted average cost of capital by 2027. In English, that simply means economic profits, earning a return that is above the required return based on the risk. That is a long wait for shareholders, and if Nampak gets this right, then they should technically trade at approximately book value by 2027, and that would suggest decent returns over the next few years. I must be honest though, I would wait for the dust to settle on the rights offer here before considering a punt at Nampak. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.